Hey everyone, welcome back to the Go-Getters podcast brought to you by Go-Get-It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io, and our good friends over at On Milwaukee. About a year ago, we did an episode on the crazy housing market in Milwaukee, and there's still a lot going on here in Southeast Wisconsin. A lot of people are looking to buy houses, buy investment properties, buy Airbnbs, a lot of things like that, or are looking to sell. So we're going to get another update, and I've got a great guy here to give that update, Steve Greif. He is the Senior Vice President, Director of Mortgage at Johnson Financial. He leads JFG's mortgage team throughout all of Wisconsin and has 20 plus years in financial services and mortgage experience here in the Midwest. Steve, it's good to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So, kind of an overarching question. What can we expect in the housing market for the rest of 2022?
That's a great question. I think there's two key pieces there. The first, let's talk about interest rates. So obviously in 20 and 21, we saw historic lows when it comes to interest rates. Coming into this year, we knew that rates were going to rise. Weren't sure how much that increase was going to be. But to give you some perspective, in the beginning of March, you could still get an interest rate for a 30-year fixed conforming loan in the low threes. 30 days later, that went up to 4%. And as we sit today, I think the national average for a 30-year conforming loan is right about 5.25. May have fluctuated a little bit today, but as of yesterday, it was about 5.25%. So pretty hefty increases.
Any idea if those are going to continue to rise, or you think they're going to stay there for a little while?
I think we're definitely in a new normal, but still fairly low rates, especially when you compare to previous decades.
And what were those typically at?
So if you look at the early 80s, you're averaging 16%. 16%, pretty high rate, right? I mean, 5.25 is still pretty good. My folks, they got their first home and their rate was 16%. I remember my dad telling me that when I first got in the mortgage industry. It's like, wow, how'd you guys do it? Right? Yeah, it's a lot.
It has a massive effect on the amount of interest you're paying. I bought a house for the first time last September, and you know, getting the mortgage bill and just seeing how much was going towards interest on I think we were in the 3.5s or something at that point. But yeah. That's a big effect.
It is. Agreed. I think the second big piece is just around the inventory and housing availability. So we've got, it's really a supply versus demand equation right now. Supply is low, demand is high. And you've got a lot of new buyers coming into the marketplace. You know, the prime age for buying a home, you look at the millennial demographic, many millennials will be turning 30 this year. They're coming into the prime age to buy a house, and there's just not enough inventory out there. You know, your ready built homes, you've got inventory problems, construction, it's been slowed. You've got a lack of workforce, building supplies, the costs have just gone up and up. You know, 2x4s typically in a normal environment, if you've ever built anything, you can get a 2x4 for, you know, probably a little over $2. And last time I checked, they were ranging about $9. That's a lot. Plus, you've got the supply chain issues for construction as well.
So how does this affect home prices? You look at the higher mortgage rates, and then you look at the supply and demand, which I'm guessing, if it's still a seller's market, the supply and demand has held relatively steady over the last couple of years since the housing boom really started when the pandemic hit.
Yeah, so it's a seller's market. It is, and it's going to continue to be so. There isn't an opportunity to create, you know, balance within the market. You're not going to see a large amount of inventory injected in, which would balance that out. So in the near term, you're going to see higher prices, increased offers on homes. You know, we're seeing, you know, cash buyers get moved to the head of the line. It's a little bit more of a guaranteed within the transaction just because they're bringing cash to the table. But we're seeing a number of buyers overpay for homes just to acquire them. They're going up against multiple bids, and they're the ones that are winning.
Is there any end in sight to the seller's market?
I think it's going to continue through this year and into next, just because if you have a huge injection of inventory, that would balance it out, but that's just not going to happen, right? It takes time for that to occur. The flip side is with these rising interest rates, you could see demand fall off because of affordability, and people just don't want to pay that much for a house. I think that's also keeping some homeowners in their homes. You think about it, if you want to move, but you aren't guaranteed to find a house where you want to buy, then people are going to stay where they're at, especially if they refinanced in the past couple of years and they've got a really low rate. They could be looking at a rate that's almost double what they're sitting on today.
Right. And you could get a lot for your house, but what's
where
the
option?
Where
are you going to go? It's the same thing with cars, right? You get a lot for your used car right now, but you got to go buy one.
That makes sense. What decisions and considerations should sellers and buyers be making going into this market?
Well, it can't just be a decision based on the transaction, right? It's not just a mortgage or real estate transaction. You need to take a holistic view of how this is going to impact you. You brought up the comment around investment properties and second homes, right? And I keep hearing from friends and family, hey, so-and-so just bought a lake house, or we bought an investment property because we want to start building our little fiefdom of rental properties. And it sounds like a really great idea, but there isn't a standard recipe card for everyone, right? It's very personalized, and you really need to dig in, whether you're a first-time home buyer or you're taking a step to get a second home or investment property. You need to really break things down. You need to get a support group around you to help guide you through it, give you the education you need. Financial stress is the worst kind of stress there is. And if you don't make the right decision, you could end up with a property that is causing you problems. And it's not like you have the opportunity to return a piece of real estate, right? You can't go back to the store and return it. You're going to have to sell it, and that can take time. So the best recommendation is get a strong support group around you, right? Get that financial support and service. You need to talk to folks about your financial plan. That's key. Is this decision going to fit into your financial plan? It's got to make sense. And then, is it going to fit into your lifestyle? Right? It's a big obligation. And in the past 5 years, my wife and I have been looking at lake properties. And it's not the financial implications that have been keeping us from making that decision. It's really the lifestyle decision, which may sound funny, right? Because you think lifestyle would be improved if you buy a second home. And it's great, right? You're on the lake or you're in a beautiful environment, but there's an obligation there. And if it's 3 hours away and something goes wrong, you've got to be there. There's going to be upkeep. Same thing like with an investment property. It's going to cost you money. It's never going to be perfection. So you need to be prepared for it. You need to be emotionally prepared, financially prepared, and you've got to expect the unexpected.
That was very well said. One of the questions I had was, any overarching advice to first-time home buyers or people looking to buy an investment property? And you just went through a number of things to be cognizant of. Are there any overarching principles that people should make sure they have in line before buying a house that you feel you work with a lot of people on this?
Yeah, we do. Not just on the consumer side, but even internally at Johnson Financial Group, we have an approach we call One JFG, and that's mortgage partnering with wealth, partnering with private banking or consumer banking or commercial to ensure we have the right people to support our consumer. From there, we can start breaking down what their goals are and help them with the guidance on getting to their end goal and getting through that decision process. One of the big pieces on the mortgage side is you need to be educated on what you're up against in the market, how you're going to have to behave when you go to make an offer on a house, and you need to be pre-qualified. The pre-qualification is key. If you don't have that, you're just not going to be considered. And keep in mind, you're going to be competing with other potential buyers that have pre-qualifications from other lenders, but you're also going to have, you know, that cash buyer. So you really need to be smart. You need to have the right guidance. You can't do it alone. Mortgages, it's complicated. It's more complicated than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't gone through it, it can be an arduous process. I've been in the business for 25 years. I've bought a number of homes. It's still stressful for me. I mean, it's probably one of the biggest transactions you're ever going to go through. So having that guidance, having the right support group around you, and having that pre-qualification walking in.
What would you say to a kind of a mid to late 20-something or early 30-something who wants to buy a house for the sole reason they don't want to be wasting money on rent? I hear that quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's a very common conversation right now. And like I said, there are so many millennials coming to that prime buying age. You know, the guidance would be get a support group around you, get educated. It's not just a transaction. There are many things that are tied to it, whether it's financial, emotional, lifestyle. You have to commit. And if you feel like you're ready to do that, then getting the guidance, getting a realtor to work with, getting a strong loan officer to work with to help guide you, that's key. And understanding not just what the process is going to look like, but what it's going to take from you financially. And it's not just what's on the paper. There are other costs that are going to be incurred, right? As a homeowner, things break down. You've got property taxes, you've got homeowner's insurance. You're going to want to upgrade. All things to keep into consideration.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. As again, I said, I bought my first house in September, and I remember my girlfriend was like, "You're gonna mow the lawn, right?" And I'm like, "We don't have a mower." I'm like, "Sure, I need to mow it like once a month, right?" And she's like, "No, every week." And I was just like, "I don't want to do that shit."
So, right.
So now we're now we're paying for that. Or the washer, you know, broke down a couple months, and that was a quick $300-$400. It adds up, stuff that you don't have to deal with at all when living in an apartment. So what you said about, yeah, it's not just the cost that's on paper, and it's a lifestyle thing too. It takes time. Do you enjoy doing that stuff? Do you not enjoy doing that stuff? You can still have a house, but you're going to have to pay for someone else to do it if you don't want to do it.
Yeah, no, that freedom and independence comes at a cost.
You talked about a lot of cash buyers coming into the market. What are the pros and cons of being a cash buyer?
It's a really good question. I think on the pro side, you're probably going to get pushed up in the line of bids and offers just because there's a implied guarantee the money is there. If you're working with somebody who has to get a loan, conventional loan through a bank, then there could be some twists and turns involved in that. So, you know, the phrase cash is king, it kind of is, but ultimately, the seller is going to decide who they sell to. And I told you the story about how we sold our property down in the western suburbs of Chicago. We ultimately didn't sell to the highest cash bidder. We sold to somebody who we wanted to have living in our home. You have an emotional attachment to your home, right? And if you've raised children in that home, you've lived in that home for a long period of time, you know, that could, you know, kind of predicate who you want to hand that home off to. And that's the approach we took. But you are hearing of a lot of transactions these days where you end up having some bidders that are going through conventional financing and then a couple cash bidders, and it ends up being those two cash offers that bid against one another and then ultimately end up winning.
Anything else that people should be aware of on the housing market right now, or people who are looking to buy or sell?
I think some of the key points, you need to be patient. You need to be patient. It's going to take some time. I think the sooner that you can get the education and perspective on what you're trying to do and get the support you need, you're going to be ready for it. And then that patience kicks in, allowing the time to, you know, ultimately achieve the end goal. But it's a tough market and you need to be prepared for it. If I'm in a seller's shoes right now, it's a tough spot. I'm not sure, you know, how quickly you're going to find a property if you sell your home. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of folks retain their homes. They've chosen not to move they're upgrading their homes, right? They're spending money to do a new kitchen, new bath, or new home office because now they're working from home. And we're also seeing it, you know, the largest demographic that holds the most real estate in the country are the baby boomers. And we're seeing them age in place more. They're not releasing that inventory. They're staying where they're at. So it's interesting.
Is that going to be released at some point, 5, 10, 15 years down the road? Or because that you would think that would kind of tip the market.
You would think, but you know, if I put myself in like my parents' shoes, it's you're in a home you're happy with. You could probably make a couple tweaks to it and you'd be happier for a longer term. And when you weigh that against where am I going to move to, that's a stressful decision. And not everybody has the ability to find the home they're going to be moving to, secure that with financing or pay for it, and then put their current home on the market. It works in the reverse.
And you would think building homes would be a good business to be in right now, but is the supply chain just so jacked up that you're not seeing the amount of inventory that would normally come to market?
Correct. It's a challenging time for builders. It's the cost of the goods. It's the supply chain, lack of workforce. They're doing a great job trying to keep up. And I think you'll start to see some of that hopefully ease over the next 12 to 18 months. But for right now, it's definitely a challenge.
Thanks so much for coming on today. It was great talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
And Steve, where can people find you if they want to reach out?
Johnson Financial Group. They can reach us email, phone,
JohnsonFinancialGroup.com.
We're accessible. We're here.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.